Good evening, everybody. Welcome in the Bimhuis. Hello. Welcome to the October meeting. I'm Koen Schouten. I'm the host of Bimhuis Radio. And besides welcoming you here and announcing the first group, I'm going to promote shamelessly Bimhuis Radio. Because since the Jubilee of 40 years Bimhuis, we broadcast around 40, 50 concerts a year on our own website for free. So if the Bimhuis likes it and the musicians like it, it happens. And the concerts are broadcast live, just like tonight, and also available on demand. So if you didn't know this yet, it's our fault. Sorry about it. And you know it now. Spread the word. There are also interviews. They go with the broadcast, so we interview the musicians, which is really nice because they tell us their darkest secrets. If you want to know, listen to Bimhuis Radio. Nah, it's true. I can give you examples. Anyway, we're here because of the October meeting. Two times before an October meeting happened in 1987 and in 1991, people like Cecil Taylor played there, Anthony Braxton, Michel Mengelberg, Christian Marclay, the Bauer brothers on the trombones. But now it's a different time, and we have a new generation of musicians. All the musicians you will hear this weekend are, I think, not older than 40, more or less. I hope it's true. Yeah. So this is a new generation and a really exciting generation of musicians, exciting to listen to. And they will play in different groups they have never played in before. It was possible to file in requests to Huub van Riel, the programmer, for the musicians to ask, like, I want to play with this, or I want to play with him or her. And sometimes the musicians were lucky and Huub said, okay, it's possible. I'm going to talk with Huub van Riel a little bit later, but now first it's time for a band with not one, not two, but three bass clarinets. Ziv Taubenveld, Joachim Badenhorst, Joris Roelofs, on the drums Onno Govaert, on the guitar Reinier Baas. Have fun!
Thank you. All right, that was the first band of the October meeting 2016. And you listened to Free Bass Clarinet, Sif Taubenfeld, Joris Roelofs and Joachim Badenhorst, together with on the drums Onno Govaert and on the guitar Reinier Baas. And it's time for a quick change over here in the BIM house, and that means yeah, I can play a little bit of background music. Maybe it's nice to tell you that there has been elevator music. Yeah, elevator music in the BIM house this evening, because some of the musicians who are playing this weekend performed in the elevator for people who took the elevator from the yeah, to the third floor. That is actually the BIM house on. And I don't know if you have ever been to the BIM house and ever were in the elevator, but if there is a medium-sized saxophone player with a medium-sized tenor saxophone in it, it is already quite full. So that must have been really, really nice. Because I think there was sometimes even three or four musicians in it playing. All right, the next band you're going to listen to is three ladies, and one of them we've talked to before, Susana Santos Silva on the trumpet. She's from Portugal, but lives now in Scandinavia. Ada Rave from Argentina lives in Amsterdam on the saxophone. Kaya Draxler on the piano. And Mette Rasmussen on the saxophone. And in the intermission, we will be yeah, talking with Mette Rasmussen. It's from Trondheim, by the way. And yeah, they have rehearsed, so they cheated a little bit, but that's okay. And I heard there are rumors that they are going to perform some more this weekend in some galleries in Amsterdam, so check out the Facebooks or websites of these ladies, you will find out. Keeping an eye on the stage now, I think they are getting ready. Let's see. They look ready. And they sound almost ready. Enjoy the second band.
Thank you.
Kaya Draxler, Susanna Santos Silva, Mette Rasmussen en Ada Raven. Yeah, don't worry, we're not going to talk a lot this weekend, and I'll be off after this also. The musicians will be announcing themselves or each other, but we felt obliged to have a little chat on the beginning of this weekend with the programmer, also the programmer of the Bemahuis, Huub van Riel. Huub, come forward, please. Because what you're doing this weekend is something special, and actually it's the most dangerous thing a programmer can do and want, is putting musicians together. It's in jazz, it's the most famous pitfall, that you think like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have that person and that person together, and examples of it not working out are... You know, are famous, and there are more than of it working out. So what is your strategy for a weekend like this?
Just not doing that.
So what are you doing?
Putting musicians in a situation where they can look for each other. And I'm not putting bands together. I'm just combining rumors, possibilities, notions of what I pick up in the... And taking care of it's traffic control. You know? So we invite a bunch of musicians for a variety of reasons and in projects of this nature, and they program it themselves. Mm-hmm. And the function of the Bemhuis programmer is go between. And then try to have everybody happy with the amount of space and whatever. And there are so many ideas for these few days that I'm already looking into possibilities for next season, a couple of October meeting spillover days. Because we have too many ideas that need to be followed up or can't take place at all in these few days.
I sense a little bit of Huub van Riel touch in a certain aspect. Tonight, especially, you see a lot of groups where there are the same instruments together. Like we heard the three bass clarinets. We have a group coming up with three drummers. There are guitar players together, playing together. And it later will be a band with two drummers, two bass players. I have an idea you like that.
I'm not opposed to it. It's a... No, but there's no system there. But when you have the opportunity to have these... bass clarinet is not the most common instrument. And to have three bass clarinetists on this level, what can you do? Actually, I don't recall whether they came up with it or me, or it just was so obvious. Yeah.
What you do have a clear influence in is who you invite for the October meeting. What was your criteria?
There have been, and we've done projects like this before, October meetings on a large scale with people from the US and Europe in various generations. This is linked to more or less a generation, roughly 35 is sort of an age limit, but we... Don't use rules that are not needed. But there are other reasons. We have been discussing possibilities of continuing on the system of showcasing internationally and having international guests to hear groups and see what comes from that. And we thought it was time for an update and make that more adventurous. And I think we need someone else on stage, a partner in crime in the system. Dutch Performing Arts, Susanna Moet. Susanna, are you?
Yeah, Susanna Moet from Dutch Performing Arts, a partner in the October meeting. Susanna, good that you're here. Yeah, so no fixed band, but unfixed groups, actually. So tell me.
Tell you about Dutch Performing Arts?
Well, we should maybe say yeah. Dutch Performing Arts is, tell people what kind of organization is it, yeah.
Yeah, Dutch Performing Arts is a program of the Performing Arts Fund for the international promotion of Dutch music, theater, and dance. And we promote them abroad via festivals or conferences, but also events in the Netherlands, such as October Meeting. Like Huub mentioned, October Meeting is kind of a different program than we used to support, we still support them. And I think it's really exciting to have a different kind of event. And for jazz, and especially in the improv scene, it's very musician-driven. International collaboration is needed. And so for us to promote the Dutch and to let them go abroad as much as possible, I think this is a great opportunity, very excited, adventurous. I'm very excited. I'm very curious as how it's going to work out. And but besides the international collaboration we invited, I think it's about 40 international presenters from venues, festivals, and also journalists too.
Yeah, welcome everybody. Welcome.
Yeah, that's in a nutshell. Yeah.
What do you hope that this people that are invited will find here this weekend?
Inspiration, first of all, and I think there are many possible outcomes. For me, it would be, of course, that the Dutch go abroad, and that could be in like the formation that are made here, but it could also be like a presenter seeing a Dutch musician and thinking, hey, this is great for a musician I know in my scene, and to let them collaborate. So it could be very many different outcomes for us. So very curious for us, it's also new to do this, so yeah.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Susanne Moed, for being here and supporting the October meeting. Okay, Huub, one last question, but I haven't thought of a question yet, so let's see. But say something. Short, please.
The group of musicians that we have is more or less half Dutch or Dutch-based. We have a very international scene in the jazz and improvisers world. And in this project, they cooperate with a number of musicians working in the same areas, roughly, although there are huge differences here and there. From more neighboring countries, so it's a little bit limited to areas and an area in music and age, and we are looking into a variety of cooperations with our international friends and guests to continue on these projects in many different ways. So I hope it can be an inspiring event.
Yeah. Okay, I think so. Thank you, Huub van Riel. Okay, time for the next group, a duo. Alexander Hawkins on the piano and Sophia Jernberg, vocals. Enjoy! Susanna Santos Silva. Susanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
And you play trumpet, of course. And you play a Dutch trumpet.
A Dutch trumpet.
Yeah, is that true? You still play a Van Laar trumpet?
I play flugelhorn, actually.
Ah,
and
okay.
I'm playing with a Yamaha trumpet,
yeah.
But I'm going to Huub actually next week.
Okay, Huub van Laar,
To try some new trumpets that he's building for me.
Aha. Yeah, because
you are very well informed.
Yeah, well, you know, musicians in Holland and they know Huub van Laar, the trumpet builder from the south, from Limburg. And he is boasting on his website that you are playing on one of his instruments.
Uh-huh.
So I thought,
yes.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But let's talk about what you do with it. Because you, okay, I checked your website and I see this a week in May in New York. You play one day, you play with Craig Tabor, and the next day you play with Ingrid Laubrock. The next day you play with on a set where also Peter Evans and Jamie Branch are playing. You play with Trevor Saint, with Matt Maneri, and that must have been an awesome week.
Yes, it was.
How did you manage to do all these great gigs in that week? That is some planning.
Yes, it's a lot of work for only this small but very important, let's say, gigs.
Yeah.
But I just wrote them. You know, they are all amazing musicians that I admire, that I get very much inspired from. And so I just wrote them and saying that I was in town and if they were up for playing some music. And they were up for it, so lucky me. And it was really an amazing experience. I had a lot of fun.
Was it hard? I mean, trumpet is already an instrument that's not really forgiving if you're tired.
Very much true.
It will punish you.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do to keep? Do you do anything to keep fit?
Well, I try my best. Sometimes it's really hard, especially when you're touring a lot and there's not so much time to do to practice.
Mm-hmm.
But I try, of course, to play every day, to do the basics at least, to keep in shape. But always looking forward to have more time to practice. Actually, mm-hmm. Easy.
How a lot of people ask this question for to improvisers, but how do you practice? But what is your favorite practice on the trumpet actually?
Oy, oy, oy.
Are different things every time?
Yeah, of course, you try to do different things all the time.
The
basics are always the same, actually, just to keep in shape, in form, like doing the basics, long tones, flexibility exercise, all those things that are can be a bit boring, but they are extremely important.
Yeah, the workout.
And then, finding your own, building your own language, playing around with the, stuff that I like and finding my own vocabulary, I guess.
Yeah. What was you are from Portugal, mm-hmm. originally from Porto. You still live in Porto?
No, right now I'm in Stockholm.
Okay.
I'm based in Stockholm.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Is there was there a lot of trumpet playing? Yeah, we are here in the, you hear people singing here downstairs.
It was Kaya.
Yeah,
Kaya was singing.
You recognize her, you played as a duo with Kaya on the North Sea Jazz Festival,
yes.
amongst others,
true.
But this was there a lot of trumpet going on in Porto when you grew up?
Not really, there are not so many trumpet players in the whole country. I mean, you can at the time there was three or four, I don't know. And not really something that inspired me extremely. I mean, I was looking for something else back then already. So, I really had to search outside.
Did you know what you were looking for?
No, I didn't. For many years, I didn't. I was searching. I knew more or less what I wanted somehow.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know how to get there, and for a while I didn't even know that it was possible. I mean, that what I wanted to do was possible to do, or that it was valid, let's say. So it was a long path searching, and now a couple of years ago or some years ago, I kind of found the way, but just keep on searching, actually, every day.
When is the moment that you thought that you had the feeling, okay, now it is valid, what I'm doing?
Well, I don't know exactly, but actually, when I moved to Holland for a while, mm-hmm. after I did the classical studies and then jazz studies in Porto, and then I did my master in jazz performance in Rotterdam at Codarts.
Yeah.
So that was the time I started to, you know, find out about other musics, and all of a sudden a new world started to appear in front of me, let's say.
Yeah.
That was a while ago, actually, already, like some 8 years or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the beginning of the beginnings, when I realized that, okay, maybe this is something for me, or maybe this is the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how about tonight? You will be you will be playing in the second with the second group. That will be the first time you'll be playing with Mette Rasmussen on the saxophone and Ada Rave and Kaya Draxler.
Yes.
You know Kaya, of course, and the other two.
I met Ada in other occasions in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. A bit through Kaya, actually. Mm-hmm. We played like a session last year or 2 years ago, I can't remember exactly. And Mette, I know her from around, actually.
Yeah.
Scandinavia, Mette, we played, last year we played a duo gig in Stockholm. So we played once with Fire Orchestra also. And this was in our mind for a while, actually, to play with this band. So this meeting was the perfect opportunity to make it happen.
Okay, because Huub van Riel, the programmer of the BIMHUIS, he makes the program, but also you can make a request.
Yeah, we had a lot of musicians had suggestions, specific constellations that we wanted to play with. So
yeah,
and then Huub did the last puzzle the rest out. Yeah.
And did you rehearse for this evening? You can. It's okay if you say no. But,
sorry.
Did you rehearse with the band?
Well, we rehearsed with the quartet actually some days ago. I don't think we are playing any of what we rehearsed.
Okay. Yeah.
But with the other bands, actually, we had a little rehearsal also with the trio with Ziv and Olli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a composition of Ziv. So we
Ziv Taubenfeld and Olli Bryce,
exactly. The other sets will be more or less improvised. I mean, totally improvised. We did a small rehearsal for the last set also of the evening, which is a composition by Ada.
Yeah.
So we also discussed the form of the structure of the piece and whether it's improvised.
Yeah. Mm. Is it when you are in a situation like this, are you conscious about what the other musicians will think or what is your position with the rest? Maybe I should be a little bit more like this or more like that? Or is that totally out of your mind?
No, I think everyone is just being themselves. No one is thinking about, I'm playing with this. Of course, you always adapt to the circumstances or with whom you are playing, and playing with different people in a way makes you play differently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's consciously. I mean, in a conscious level. But naturally, that happens a bit, I believe, which is also nice.
Yeah.
Makes you go out of your comfort zone somehow. More because you always try to do that. It's very interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're looking forward to hearing you tonight. And, did you think about a track of choice, something you would like to hear?
No, I did not. I'm really sorry.
No, that's
this
okay.
has been really busy days.
Yeah.
And, running.
Can you think of something now, or?
No, I will let you choose for me.
Okay.
I will let you choose for me.
Okay, well, since it's a happy occasion and a festival, I was thinking about a happy tune by Sean Bergen and his band MOB, the Toko's Tune. Thank you, Susanna.
Great. Thanks.
Hello. We're really happy to be here. Thank you, Wim House and Hoop, for inviting us. This is the first time we'll play together, and we will play two Ethiopian songs, one traditional and one more modern. You probably heard it if you've listened to Ethiopic's record.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sophia Jernberg and Alexander Hawkins for the first time together, and they have a shared interest actually, because Alexander Hawkins, he plays with the Ethiopian hero Mulatu Astatke, and Sophia Jernberg is from Ethiopian descent, so that's what you could clearly hear. And the piece that just played. It's an Ethiopian classic, but I don't know the name. If you know it, send us a message via Facebook. Okay, after this, Susana Santos Silva, who we just spoke with and who you heard before, will be playing with bass clarinetist Sif Taubenfeld and bassist Ollie Bryce. At the moment, they are taking their places on the stage. It will take a little while, a minute or two. Yeah, in the meantime, it's maybe nice to tell you that also in the intermission, there is music in the bar here in the Bimhuis. Unfortunately, we won't be broadcasting that, but we will be having an interview with, if everything goes well, Renier Baas, guitar hero. And with Mette Rasmussen, saxophone player from Norway. And we'll be playing music, of course. Let's see, it looks like they're ready. Yeah, okay, enjoy.
Thank you.
Yep, that was a short one. Susanna Santos Silva on the trumpet with Ziv Taubenfeld on the bass clarinet and Ollie Bice on the bass. Susanna and Ollie will stick around, at least. Yeah, they should. Oscar Jan Hoogland is telling something to the audience, but we cannot hear it in the studio because he's not using a microphone. So I'll just tell you that Susanna and Ollie will be back in the next group and will be joined with by Joachim Badenhorst on the saxophone this time, it rumor has it, and with Christian Lillinger, the drummer. You might know him from many great groups, among which his own band Grund, for example. He's been here in the Bimhuis. And after that, there will be an intermission. And in the intermission, I will be talking with Reinier Baas, Mette Rasmussen, and we'll be playing really nice music. Well, not as nice as what you're hearing for the rest on stage, but that's impossible. Let's see, Ollie is tuning up, and Joachim has a saxophone ready. I think they're almost ready to start. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a break, and this is not true. Haro will play something he expected or hoped never to be doing together with Cactus Truck, one of his songs in the bar. So be careful while getting a beer.
Yeah, that's intermission time announcement by Oscar-Jan Hoogland. And that means we'll be playing some tunes here in the Bemahuis radio studio. And we'll be doing some talk with musicians coming up. So, and in the meantime, we have a guest here in the Bemhuis Radio Catacombs, and it is no one less than Reinier Baas.
Hi.
Hi, Reinier. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for the playing with the first band with the three bass clarinets and Onno on the drums, of course. Whose idea was it to make this group like this?
I think it was the bass clarinetist's idea, and I somehow talked myself into being able to play with them, which I was really happy, because it's like a childhood dream to play with three bass clarinets. Maybe it can be more next time.
Yeah, it can only be more now. Uh-huh. From now on, now this is now you have to find the next goal in life, of course.
Uh-huh.
Is it? I heard. I know you guys have been rehearsing for a couple of days already for yeah. several groups that will be playing this weekend. Is it? Can you take us into the rehearsal room and tell us what happens there?
Well, funnily enough, a lot of the music is not being rehearsed. I would say about half is completely improvised and completely open.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people try to keep it that way before they go on stage. So yeah. it's really a bunch of first meetings on stage. And then the other half is more composed music, and there's a lot more rehearsals involved.
Yeah.
There's some tutti stuff coming with everyone playing.
So yeah.
I believe it's 21 musicians.
Like. Yeah, officially 22, but I haven't counted yet if everybody's here. Yeah. And so will there be music by your hand?
No.
Played?
Actually, no. I decided to not write anything, and I wanted to play as much free improv as possible.
Okay, yeah.
Because that's where these guys are really good at, and it's way out of my comfort zone. The music we normally play is partly improvised, but there's always a form, or
yeah.
at least one of the parameters is set.
Yeah.
And now you just have to go on stage and see what happens.
Yeah, you're actually one of the cats who is here this weekend that is you play mostly composed music, more than the others, right?
Yeah,
like you
yes,
say.
Yeah.
And so, it's what did you think beforehand? Like, okay, I have to check out or prepare or get in a state of mind. What, what did you do?
Well, it's more sort of a thought process. The danger in playing music like this is. Trying to be in control, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to have your bag of tricks to fall back on when nothing's happening, or so the challenge is in being as open as possible, not relying on your technique or on your harmonic ideas.
Yeah.
And just going for it and accepting if it doesn't work, that's okay too. So mm-hmm. it's much more about the music existing in the moment than it is about trying to play something beautiful or having something to prove or
Is that hard to not prove anything?
For me, yeah, it's very very difficult.
Yeah,
I have a huge ego. enormous yeah. actually. So no, yeah, it's very difficult. there's always a part of you that wants to show off.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but I can imagine it's human.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is. But it's interesting to see what happens, because some of these guys are on a different level that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also people that are, you know, just masters of their instrument, or people that don't find themselves in situations like these usually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very interesting mix of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's have a talk really shortly about your latest the bomb you dropped, the Princess Discombobulatrix opera, mostly instrumental opera,
mm-hmm.
And it's like it's a book, it's a beautiful a tin case,
yeah,
it's an album and everything. It's a collaboration with Typex,
mm-hmm.
the Dutch illustrator, and this must cost huge amounts of money to make this.
Yeah, and blood and tears.
Yeah,
and a lot of coffee. It's been quite an elaborate project, and more stuff popped up.
Is it at any? I mean, and I can't imagine you get out of the costs of this. Or did you get funding or what?
For some of it, yeah. There's a fund called Sena Music Production Fund.
Right, yeah.
And they supported me with a few thousand euros, which helped me pay the musicians and you know, book the studio, stuff like that. But it's an expensive project. There's a lot of different parts involved. It's a huge lineup. And we recorded with Micha de Kanter, incidentally.
Yeah, who is doing the sound this evening?
Who's
as well.
Recording tonight also?
But it's and he's really expensive. So
he's very expensive. Very needy also.
And so you did in end of September, you did a couple of shows. Will there be a continuation of this?
There might be, yeah. It's actually a more elaborate version of a composition assignment I did for the North Sea Jazz Festival in 2015. So it's been running for quite a bit. So the tour we've just done was sort of a more or less definitive version, with projections of T-Pex artwork.
And,
more stuff might come up. Who knows?
Okay, yeah, we're gonna check it out. do you have something you would like to hear? A track of choice that pops up now?
How about something from Last Date? I've been listening to that record.
All right, of course.
With Han Benink and Misha Mengelberg on the piano. Jacques Scholz on bass and Eric Dolphy, which is one of my favorites.
And you have a track, a specific track?
Epistrophe.
Yeah, the first
that?
One.
Yeah.
I think I always say to people that the opening, the moment where Han Benink hits the snare for the first time is like one of the epic moments in jazz history.
I agree.
Okay, let's listen to it. Rainier, enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, there are three drummers on stage. Gerry Jäger, you might know him from Knalpot, Onno Govaert, and Christian Lielinger. The beginning of the second set here on the first day of the October meeting in Bimhuis. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Yeah, you listen to, if you have a stereo connection, in your left speaker was Onno Govaert, in your right speaker was Christian Lillinger, and in the middle was Gerry Jager, three drummers. And now something is happening on stage which is not completely clear. Let's see, change over time. So and now there will be a duo. Reinier Baas will be playing guitar and Alexander Hawkins will be playing piano for the first time ever in the world, ladies and gentlemen. But of course, yeah, the drums have to be removed. There were three drum kits on the stage. So, yeah, we wait a bit for that. And you can listen to some relaxed music for intermission by Quantic. New album, Flowering Inferno. Right now, here on the October meeting is Alexander Hawkins. And he is right with us at this moment, joined us in the studio. Alexander, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, good to see you back here in the BIM house.
Yeah, I'm always happy to be here, yeah.
This is already, we've seen you here often lately.
Yeah, I've been very lucky just to be here in a few different contexts. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun to get the chance to do this, you know, spontaneous thing for the first time here.
Yeah, this is really how many of the musicians do you know or don't you know?
Well, it's strange. I mean, I know of most of them through listening to records, or you know, there's this thing where one of the things that's so nice about this is you travel around so much to festivals and you hear other people. So there are people here who I would say that I was friends with that I've never played music with and stuff like this. So it's a really nice you know, opportunity. You sort of have a kind of a relationship with somebody already, and then make the music rather than sort of develop the other way around, which is one of the fun things about this.
That's interesting. But then your whole friendship can be spoiled if it doesn't work out.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, there could be some disasters. Yeah, no, that could be the compelling element of it, is watching people fall out live on stage.
yeah. No, well, it could be that you question. Do you need to be be able to get along privately to make good music, or can it?
I mean, I don't think so necessarily. I mean, for me, I think it helps. I think it's nice, and you know, actually, we were joking, of course, but as a group, everyone's getting on great, and I think it makes things nicer because when you have, you know, a very short amount of rehearsal, it's just easier. I mean, of course, I think we've probably all been in situations where we've played with, you know, where there's been tension in a band or something, but actually we've been really lucky. It's a really nice group of people, and you know, we were joking about failures, but actually, you know, one of the things that's fascinating about this context of the October meeting is that, you know, fantastic music may arise, and there may be things which don't work, but because of the context of it being new collaborations, the process becomes more important than the outcome in some ways. And so it'll be, I think, compelling to watch a process, even if the outcome sounds strange. So I think it's almost a win-win situation for the audience, actually.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. Who is this, actually, you were talking about that you are friends with but didn't play with yet?
Well, so, for example, Kaya Draxler. I mean, obviously, as pianists, both of us, we very rarely get to play together, of course.
Right.
But of course, one of the beautiful things about the BIM house is two pianos here. John Dykeman, I've worked with at the BIM house with Wayne Horvitz before, but in a big band situation. So we'll play in a couple of days' time. And that will be our first opportunity to play in a small group. Likewise, Jasper Stadthouders. And in fact, even Ollie Bryce, the other English musician involved. I mean, we're big friends and we used to play together a lot, but it's been, you know, it's been a while since we did. So it brings up these nice opportunities. And then you find musicians with who you've never met. But, so for example, tonight I'm doing a short set with Sophia Jernberg. And you know, one of the things which is really great about that is we have this deep shared interest in Ethiopian music, so we'd never met, but we were able to bond and make some music because we both have a background playing playing that, you know.
Yeah, you played with Mulatu Ostatka.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. I was here with Mulatu. I think, in fact, that was the first time I ever came to the BIM House, of course. I'd been here to listen before, but that was the first time I ever played here, was with Mulatu.
Right. Well, what did you listen to when you came here?
I definitely remember hearing Achim Kaufmann with, I think, Frank Gratkowski.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Fred Longberg Holm, perhaps, was playing on cello.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I hear on that bill? I can't remember.
I
definitely remember that set.
In this really free situation, as a pianist, you can have a major influence on what happens. You can force chords onto people, and that's a big responsibility, or not.
Absolutely. I mean, the piano can be a weapon, of course. I like thinking of two. Of course, Cecil Taylor talks about the piano as 88 tuned drums, so there's that element.
Yeah.
But I once heard Keith Tippett call the piano a harp in a box, so you can go in that direction, of course. And yeah, absolutely. A bit like guitarists, we have this ability to force the harmony a little bit more than some instruments. And so you have responsibilities. But then I think as well, all instruments have a certain responsibility. I mean, the piano has a certain orchestral character just because you have a lot of notes at your disposal. But, you know, for example, drummers, of course, have other responsibilities and horn players. So that's one of the fantastic things about these collaborations is you get to figure out these boundaries with other musicians, you know, and that's been fascinating for the last couple of days.
Yeah, you had rehearsals, huh? Isn't that cheating?
Yeah, maybe. You know, actually what's interesting. No, I mean, for me, the thing is that free improvisation these days is one option amongst many. It's no longer. It's also an old methodology. And so it's one option amongst many. And I think that's what's really exciting about, our generation definitely isn't the first. Of course, it's been done for a long time previously. But the ultimate freedom is the freedom to do what we want. So somebody brings, you know, it's like for me, if somebody says, so I'm in Amsterdam, so I have to, you know, Johan Cruyff, you know, the thing for me is, Johan Cruyff was not less free because he agreed to play by the rules of football, you know.
Yeah.
And so when I watch Dutch football teams, you know, they're not less free because they agree to play with 11 people and they agree to play within the white lines. And for me, that, you know, that's a nice analogy for the music, which is a composition is a playground. You know, we can have fun in a composition and be just as free as if we have no material. You know, Sonny Rollins playing on a tune is the freest thing there is in this world. I feel that very strongly, and I think that's something that an approach that all of us here are sharing.
Well, that's great. I'm looking forward, Alexander, to hearing you play.
Did you actually
I don't know if I asked you, I asked all the guests for a track of choice. If you have something that pops into your mind that you would like to hear right here, right now.
Do you know what? I wasn't asked. Can we listen to some Curtis Clark? Do you have that first track from Letter to South Africa with Louis Maholo?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because that's one of the things I think, you know, Curtis Clark, I feel like I'm in Amsterdam and I feel like he's a master pianist that I'd want to pay respect to.
The first track that is Serious Wishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got it. Oh,
right,
fantastic.
Here. Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
totally unprepared.
This is the BIM House. We have all this stuff.
Yeah. Right, sure. Oh, I'd be really happy to hear
and
that.
And we have fast internet. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Alexander August, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Enjoy the whole weekend.
Oh, for sure I will, yeah.
And now we have another British jazz hero in the house, Ross Rigby. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
It's good that you're here. And I thought, okay, in this evening we have to talk to somebody who's not a musician.
Yes.
To have some real actual facts and a sane view on everything.
Okay.
And,
hopefully. I'll try.
Now you have been the programming director of the Sage Gateshead for a long time, and you programmed everything there, right? So from
all the non-classical music, so right. Everything. I mean, actually, for a while, for 3.5 years, I also looked after our orchestra, which is a Royal Northern Symphonia, a professional chamber orchestra. But yeah. That is now somebody else who's really an expert in classical music is doing that. But for almost 20 years before the building was built, and then when the building opened, I was responsible for everything that wasn't classical music, right. Which isn't one kind of music, it's everything else.
So yeah, exactly.
Jazz,
exactly.
Folk world, etc., yeah. etc. Yes.
Well, you started out as a folk specialist. You had an agency, and then it's like, folk and jazz seem so distant. There seems such a gap for a lot of people between these two musics. But
I wouldn't say that.
Right.
I think they both have elements of improvisation. I mean, folk music, people may not hear it in the same way, but actually a lot of it is personal interpretation. It is a style of music that is often passed on by ear, it's learnt by ear, and there's a lot of... Often people think what people play in folk music is old. Actually, often it's newly composed.
Right.
And these days, particularly in northern countries, Norway in particular, Scotland, other places, folk and jazz are very closely linked. So if you think about artists in Norway like Nils Åkerlund, people like this, work a lot with folk tunes.
Yeah.
And in Scotland, you've got, again, people who cross those boundaries. So, and I'd always loved jazz as well. So it's part of my musical, you know, history too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you are, you know, if you go somewhere where something important jazz-related is going on in Europe, then you are there. But you are also in the board of the Europe Jazz Network and other important British organizations dealing with collaborations, etc. But you stepped down this year as the programmer.
I stepped away from doing it full time because it had been over 20 years. So I passed that on to a very talented colleague, Tamsin Austin, who worked with me for, you know, over 10 years. And I'm now working freelance, but I'm still programming the Jazz Festival.
Right,
I was re-elected as president of the Europe Jazz Network just a few weeks ago in Wrocław in Poland. So I'm still very involved and have a very positive relationship with Sage Gateshead and still represent them. But I think sometimes, you know, I mean, we all know, those of us who work in venues, you're not just sitting around thinking of nice things to do. A lot of it is management, budgets, fundraising, etc. And I think there comes a point in which you think, actually, I'm going to move on from this and let someone else pick it up.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So that was the point I'd got to.
And but so you chose for jazz to keep on programming jazz, not one of the other.
I mean, partly because Tamsin, who's taken over as director, it's not really her area. She's more involved in Americana and club music, other areas. So she was happy for me to continue for the moment anyway.
Well, since you are so experienced, and we were having a conversation at the bar earlier, and we were actually talking about that, not you and me, but some me with some other people, that there was a time that this improv scene, at least in Holland, was really strong.
Yes.
And then came a time there was, it was there, but less strong or less visible or less powerful. And that we all have the idea that now, with this generation that's here this weekend also, there's more power again. Do you agree with that, or you don't have to agree?
No, I think it's true. I think, you know, the free impro end of jazz is healthy. I think sometimes people don't take the opportunity to see how it connects with other scenes. So at the Sage Gateshead, we have a festival coming up actually next weekend called Tusk, which is an experimental music festival, which we're working on with a local promoter.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that kind of festival crosses over a bit with this kind of world.
Yeah.
And I think we need in jazz to make sure that we're reaching out to some of these other worlds that are involved in similar experimental musics, because everything is about getting the word out to the public. And, you know, there can be some great gigs, but if you're only playing to 60 people, you know, it's not really getting out there. And I think there are a lot of opportunities now to market this kind of work more broadly.
Yeah.
Maybe that is happening at the BIM House. I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've been quite successful with it at the Sage Gateshead and with the jazz festival you organized.
Yeah.
What is the secret?
Well, I mean, having a great venue helps. Mm-hmm. This is a great venue. I've got a huge admiration for what Hoob has done here and the team, because you have created the right atmosphere in a contemporary building, which is not easy. And, you know, Sage Gateshead similarly is a contemporary building and often accused of being a bit stark, a bit formal. But the BIM House has really managed to create an informal atmosphere in a formal building. That is not easy.
Yeah.
And I am full of admiration. I think in a festival, it's about offering quite a range of music. I mean, jazz is such a broad term,
right,
and it can include everything from something more at the vintage end to where jazz connects with dance music, with electronica, mm-hmm. Over to, you know, free improvisation and so on. So I think people really like jazz festivals, actually. I think there's something about the term. People don't always like jazz all that much, but they like jazz festivals. There's something about being at a jazz festival. It's kind of cool. And you can try things there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can try things.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to make sure, actually, that your venue is an all-year festival.
Yeah. That's a super, and you're absolutely right. That is a name. It's not always easy to do that on a, you know, rainy night in November or whatever. But yeah, that's a good aim. Yeah.
Well, we're doing it now on a windy weekend in October, so that's good. As a programmer, I can imagine you, if you're like a music expert, you know very quickly if something is good. You see a band or you listen to a record and you think, okay, this deserves more attention or doesn't, or you know already how the rest is going to be after 20 seconds. What is a moment in your lifetime that you were completely baffled in that way, that you thought, what's happening here? Wow, this, I've never heard this, or this is opening whole new windows. Or is there a moment? Pick a moment. I'm sure it's happened more often.
That's quite a hard question. I thought you were going to ask me about things that I'd immediately gone, that is great. But actually thinking about being really confused, I think there have been moments where it's a very free situation, and I'm not going to name names, but you really can't follow.
Oh, come on.
You know, you can't follow. You can't follow what's happening. Yeah. And it's about your own state of mind and being open. Sorry, I'm not going to name names.
Why not?
No, I don't want to do that. But I think
if you're not, you're going to have to tell me why not.
Well, I think it's sometimes to do with your own state of mind as well.
Yeah.
At the time, you have to be in the right mode.
Yeah.
But to say something positive about people that are appearing in this weekend, I was recently in Portugal in June, and we had a Europe Jazz Network board meeting in Pareda near Lisbon, and it was hosted by Pedro Costa of Clean Feed Records.
Right,
and
he put fantastic
on
record label,
a great series of artists in what is effectively like a local community center. It's really interesting. A place called Smoop, which is actually the home of the local wind band that was formed in the late 19th century. Okay. So you've got guys there playing chess and just having a drink and local people coming in. But then some pretty cutting-edge music. And you wouldn't think the two could go together, but in Pareda, you know, it happens. So one of the artists I'm really looking forward to seeing this weekend is Susana Santos Silva, who I first saw there, because she comes from Pareda and she's on Clean Feed. Sounds like I'm her agent. I'm not. But I really enjoyed what she did. So I'm really looking forward to hearing her this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Well, then she is also your track of choice to play something by her. And the nice thing is, well, I think it's nice that we have a track here. It's called Geringoncha. And tomorrow it will be played, this tune, It's her composition. It will be played by musicians from the October meeting here. So listen how it sounds now on her album, and then listen tomorrow how it sounds then. Thank you, Ross Rigby, for joining us. Enjoy the weekend. Yeah, it looks like Alexander Hawkins and René Baas are almost ready. Last time René Baas played in a Beermhuis, he played a duo with Han Benink, and then his amp failed. So now he brought his own. Didn't want to take any risk. Yeah. Thank you. Alexander Hawkins on the piano and Reinier Baas on the guitar. Very nice duo for the first time. But I can keep saying that this evening. Alright, I think it's now time for Rafael Fanoli on the guitar. Also known from Knalpot, just like his partner in crime, Gerry Jager. And he'll be playing together with Maurice Kliphuis. French horn, known from this other band with a really Dutch name called Kapok, and known from Kiteman's Orchestra and other many other constellations. And is he now gonna play cornet? No, there were rumors that he was gonna play cornet as well, but the rumors were false. He's gonna play his French horn together with Rafael Fanoli. Thank you. Really nice moment here on an evening full of music to have this quiet atmosphere with Morse Cliphuis on the French horn and Rafael Fanoli on his characteristic orange guitar. And now it's time for a change over to sextet. They are going to play a composition by Ada Rave. She's not playing in the band. I heard mentioned at dinner, somebody said to Ada, like, yeah, well, then you are really a composer if your music is played and you're not yourself in the band who which plays it. In the band is Petter Elt on the bass, Oscar-Jan Hoogland on the piano, Sif Taubenveld on the bass clarinet, Susanna Santos-Silva on the trumpet, Harold Ausbo on the cello, en Sophia Jernberg on the vocals. Oscar-Jan Hoogland, he has been riding through Amsterdam yesterday already, and today all day, sitting on a kind of a trailer behind the car, and the trailer is a grand piano, and he's sitting on the stool and playing the piano, and he had a fine, not because of playing music in the streets, but because of sitting on a trailer behind a car. That was not allowed, even though he was wearing a helmet and a seatbelt. So anyway, but he just keeps continuing his promotion for the October meeting in town. So, running the risk of fines. Building on the stage. Maybe it's nice to tell you that, of course, you know, but tomorrow and day after there's also October meeting, and Sunday will be in the afternoon, and there will be all different kinds of constellations of musicians, and tunes will be played, even jazz tunes in the bar in the intermission tomorrow. So if you can, come and join, and hopefully there will also be elevator music tomorrow and Sunday, because that was a really nice idea. And tomorrow, BMI's Radio will be hosted by Vera Vinghoots, and Sunday as well. But Micha de Kante will be here doing the sound, so it will be sound good anyway, guaranteed. There is the sextet. Sophia Jernberg, vocals, Harold Ausbrood, cello, Susanna Santos, Silva, trumpet, Silva Taubenfeld, bass, clarinet, Oscar Jan Hoogland, piano, Petter Elt, bass, and they play a composition by Ada Raven. Enjoy. Thank you. Yes, Ada Rave on the stage taking a bow because it was her composition. The name, I don't know, we'll find out for you. You heard Sophia Jenberg on the vocals, Harald Ausboon, cello, Susanna Santos Silva, trumpet, Sif Taubenfeld, bass clarinet, Oscar Jan Hoogland, piano, Peter Elt, bass. And the next band is also a big one. It will be, well, I'll tell you who are in the band when they come to the stage. Yeah, two drummers, two bass players, exciting. Okay, they're going to make the changeover. And we are zapping ourselves into old times, Errol Garner, Concert at Sea, Mambo Carmel. Yeah, it looks like the band is getting ready. On the stage are Matt Rasmussen, saxophone, Ada Rave, saxophone, Jedo Gibson, saxophone, Harold Ausbo, cello, John Dykman, saxophone. Jedo and John make their first appearance this evening. Jasper Stadhouders, guitar, first appearance. Peter Elp on the bass. Olly Bryce on the bass. Christian Lillinger on the drums. And Onno Govaert on the drums. Let's see, I think they're about to start. Yeah, that was a Chinese piece called Tuning. That's a really old joke. Anyway, I'm about to tell you a story about a Chinese man who went for the first time to a classical concert, and he liked the first piece the best, the Tuning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you heard Mette Rasmussen on the alto saxophone, Ada Raven and John Dijkman on tenor saxophones. Jado Gibson on the soprano.
Because we intended to do another trio with myself involved, but I have the feeling that I would like to ask the director, the Verkeers director, to start with that tomorrow morning and go to the bar now, or start the tomorrow in the program. No, I want this to be the final piece in this room because it was such a beautiful end. And we all move to the bar now and have a drink and we'll have some more music there.
Okay. Yeah. There was supposed to come a trio. But I think rightfully here Oscar Jan Hoogland decides, no, this is the end of the evening. Well, not really the end, because in the bar there will be a jam session curated by Oscar Jan. So he will be playing there with, amongst others, Alexander Hawkins and Ollie Bryce. And the party continues the whole weekend. Tomorrow... Vera Fingerhoots will be there, and Sunday as well, hosting the show. Many different groups will play in different constellations. She'll tell you all about it. She'll do interviews as well. And Micha de Kanter will be doing the sound again. So guaranteed sounds great. And well, that's it. Let's end with some Ibo Taylor. And enjoy Bimhuis Radio. Spread the word. We need the attention. We're attention seekers at Bimhuis Radio. Okay, good night.